Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be together today. I'd encourage you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start with a text there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 16. And I'd like for us to read verses 24 through 26. Likely a very familiar text to us, but it describes Jesus' statement of what is involved in following Him. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is a phrase I wonder if you have heard recently. The new normal. Most likely many of us have heard that. It is a very common phrase these days. It is something that is offered to kind of suggest to people that they accept or adapt certain changes in life. From a spiritual standpoint, I think that's a little bit of an interesting concept. The new normal. Now, before you get real concerned, I want to talk to you about this idea this morning, but I assure you I'm not going to say anything. We're not going to be talking about COVID-19. I'd like us to talk a little bit about this idea of the new normal as it pertains to some spiritual aspects. But to begin with, I think we need to start with kind of a question, and that is, what do we mean when we refer to that which is normal? Well, if we were to look in a dictionary, we would find that this is a term that can be used either as an adjective or a noun. And in its adjective form, it refers to that which is conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. When you're talking about the noun, it is the usual, average, or typical state or condition. Believe it or not, the New Oxford American Dictionary actually offers a definition for that phrase, the new normal, and here's what it says. It says, "A previously unfamiliar or typical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected." It occurs to me as we think about that, that this definition and this idea when we speak of that which is normal really makes some assumptions about some things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, to begin with, it assumes that we can expect what is usual. You know, do we think that? Do we have a tendency to think, well, this is the way it has been, so I can properly expect that that's the way it's going to continue. It also somewhat assumes that the unfamiliar is not usual or standard. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But it as well assumes that conditions are something that really remain constant. And I would submit to you that really none of these things are assumptions that we can be assured of or assumptions that are accurate. And let me illustrate it this way. And I want to ask this type of question. Where is normal? Now, you may say, what do you mean, where is normal? Well, let's illustrate it this way. Let's say you are a newborn. A newborn can't walk. A newborn can't talk, a newborn can't clean himself or understand certain complex ideas. A newborn simply knows eating and sleeping and that type of thing. Now, when we grow and we become, let's say, early teenagers, young teenagers, well, you can walk and you can talk, but you're not yet able to drive or to vote. You can clean yourself whether you want to or not. And you can understand some things. Now, as we move forward and we become adults, we then get to a point where we can walk and talk, we can drive and vote, we can clean, and it is at this stage that we can understand probably the more complex ideas. But you know, as is often the case, if one were to live to a point in which their mind began to go or their mind reached a point that we sometimes refer to as senility. Isn't it interesting that all of those conditions that were true as a newborn, in essence, kind of repeat themselves? You can't walk, you can't talk, you can't clean yourself or understand complex ideas again. Now, here's why I illustrate that, or here's why I take the time to talk about that. All of these conditions, all of these situations, we could describe as normal in the fact that they're not rare, they're not the kind of thing that only happens once in a blue moon. Instead, they are normal conditions. In fact, all of these, perhaps senility isn't always a guarantee, but all of these can be expected to some extent. These are standard conditions. But I offer to you this illustration or this recognition that all of these conditions that we all may go through all have to face a new normal at some point. The teenager is going through a new normal for the child. You know, the child, as he grows, and he'll get to that point where classes are different, things that he learns are different, challenges and responsibilities are different, and that becomes the new normal. Now, what's the problem with all of this, and why do we sometimes wrestle with this so much? We do so, I think, because we get used to what is really never intended to be permanent. Wouldn't it be sad if we had a condition in which you were a newborn and you never progressed beyond those situations and times? We'd recognize that there was a problem there. Or at any one of the stages, we could say that, really. Hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, a Greek philosopher named Heraclitus made this powerful observation that change is the only constant in life. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Well, I want us to recognize that this idea of experiencing a new normal in individual life is not something that is unique to any particular time and generation and challenge. The text that we began with in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks to us about some things that are necessary if we, coming out of sin and coming out of the world, are to follow Him. He mentions self-denial. He mentions taking up one's cross, which can mean not only a willingness to accept persecution should it come, but also just those challenges of life in service to the Master. It requires following Him. And I don't know about you, but as I look at these things, all of these things describe starting and accepting a new normal in your life. If you've been outside of Christ and you've been in sin, or if as a Christian you have not come to that point yet that you realize, well, I'm not really denying myself. I'm still just doing what I want to do, and I'm not yielding to the Master. I haven't taken up my cross. You may need a new normal. Listen for just a few moments as I think we can see some examples that Scripture offers to us of a new normal. Let's start with one we're very familiar with. Go to Luke chapter 5 with me for a moment, and let's look at an example of a new normal in the life of one that becomes a pivotal figure in the ministry of Jesus and then in the history of the early church, and that is Simon Peter. But you'll remember that Simon Peter didn't start out as a religious leader. He didn't start out as one that really seemed to have much spiritual interest at all. He was a fisherman, a noble profession, but the last one perhaps in the world that you might expect that would go on to be one that follows Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, we have an account where, as Jesus is teaching, He asks to be able to teach from Peter's boat. And the first verses of chapter 5 describe that. And after the teaching, He then tells Peter the unusual request, go out into the deep and cast your net again. And we pick up in verse 5, and I want us to read down to verse 11. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They had to accept a new normal in their lives because they had to come to that point where all of those things that they'd been committing themselves to before all of a sudden took back seat. And they had to follow Jesus. Saul of Tarsus is certainly an example as well. We'll remember that he is described as one of the most vigorous opponents of faith in Jesus Christ in the beginning. And you'll remember that he, in fact, would go to various cities and get permission that he might imprison and punish those who were believing in Jesus. And yet we are told as well about the remarkable account in which this persecutor of the church, the last person perhaps that you'd ever imagine to become the apostle to the Gentiles, the Lord appears to him on the road to Damascus and urges him then to go into the city, and he's taught what he must do, and he becomes an apostle for Jesus Christ. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, listen even years later how he describes himself. Verse 13, "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Did the Apostle Paul, did Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, did Saul, the Pharisee who was committed to following vigorously the traditions of his fathers, have to accept a new normal in his life? Absolutely. He had to completely turn all things around. Two interesting examples I want to note as well. That the first one we might not often look to because we are told about a struggle that he had, and I don't want to focus on that right now. The hope is that the struggle that comes in the verses after our reading, that he did in fact repent and he did turn back to the Lord. But I want us to notice how it started. Because Simon, before he obeyed the gospel in the area of Samaria, had been, as the text describes it here, one who practiced sorcery. Read with me in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, it says, "And there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Now, again, we know the struggle that he had in the verses that come after this, but focus with me right now upon his birth into Christ. I don't hold the view that some in the religious world do that, well, he never really was converted to begin with. The Holy Spirit says he believed. The Holy Spirit says he was baptized. But think with me about the new normal that Simon the sorcerer had to accept. He had fame. He had popularity. He had people that were interested in him because of this wicked deception that he was engaged in. Do you think that required a new normal in his life? A lot of things had to change. He had to turn away from a lot of things. You know, there are probably some in the world that are involved in that which is error, involved in that which does not pursue the truth of the gospel, and yet they are so entrenched in it that for them to imagine a new normal in their life that would become service and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ is almost inconceivable. What respect we really ought to hold for this man that he was willing to turn away from those things to turn to the gospel. And one last example. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We are not even given this man's name, but in Acts chapter 16, I'd like us to notice together a man who may very well have been involved in laying stripes, that is, beating the back of the Apostle Paul when he had taught and he was imprisoned. And yet the text tells us that as Paul and Silas were imprisoned and they're singing praises to God at midnight, the Lord opens the prison, there's an earthquake, and he's concerned. Notice with me, beginning in verse 27, and go down to verse 33. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. I don't know what all might have been involved in this, but I can suggest to you that one who was a pagan jailer in a prison that likely worshipped idols, if he had any kind of faith at all, to go from such a situation where he's a hardened jailer here, almost ready to kill himself because he's afraid the prisoners are going to escape, and yet then when he learns the gospel of Jesus Christ, turns in obedience to that gospel, a new normal would absolutely have to come into his life. Now, I offer these kinds of things to us simply to recognize that, you know, as much as it is difficult for us when we face situations where that which we've been accustomed to has to change, there are some times in which we may need a new normal in our lives. If we have habits that we need to break, we need a new normal. Look with me quickly at just a few. Go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. And notice these powerful words that the Holy Spirit offers to us. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city." Maybe you have that habit of just being quick-tempered. You have a bad temper, and you just say, "Well, that's the way I've always been." You may need a new normal in your life, because you need to come to that point in which you have control of your spirit. And the text here says you'll be mightier than one who takes a city. Over in Proverbs chapter 20, notice with me in Proverbs chapter 20 and look with me at verse 1. I'm amazed. We were at a restaurant this week and the lady there, it was our anniversary, and the lady was rejoicing in our anniversary, and she shared with us that her marriage had broken and it was because of her husband's alcoholism. And, you know, we just think so much about how that is so common. That's the normal to many people. And yet the Holy Spirit says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led away by it is not wise." If that's something that you have as the normal in your life, you need a new normal. Over in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we learn about a situation that sets up a grave test in the life of Daniel when they are commanded not to pray to anyone else. And yet Daniel was, he had a habit in his life that was a good habit. Now, it may be that many of us have gotten to the point where religion is just not something important to us, or faithfulness in worship is not something that's important to us. We don't take the time to study our Bibles. We don't take the time to regularly assemble with the saints when the time comes. And in these times that we're facing now, maybe we don't take the time to watch live streams or to engage in Bible study at home. But I want us to notice the normal in Daniel's life. Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Maybe you're in the habit of just not being very religious or very faithful in your worship to God in your life. You need a new normal if that's the habit that you have in your life. Or maybe we need a new normal if we have attitudes that need to change. You know, sometimes you'll meet people that just seem to have a bitter attitude all the time. You know, they're never happy about anything. They're always cranky about something. And they just view it as if, well, that's my personality. That's who I am. You better accept it. You better get ready. You better get used to it. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, if you notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4, I understand that there are those that stand outside of Christ that may well say, well, that's who I am. That's my normal. You get used to it. But as children of God, can we ever have attitudes, whether it's hatred, whether it's bitterness, whether it's that kind of resentment, whether it's covetousness, can we ever have those kinds of attitudes and just say, well, that's who I am. That's my normal. The Holy Spirit tells us through the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Someone may say, well, you know, it's hard for me to forgive people. Is it ever easy for anyone to forgive? Do you think it was easy for Jesus as he hung upon the cross to say, Father, forgive them? They know not what they do. Absolutely, it was not easy. That's what we're called to do. Colossians chapter 3. Notice with me in Colossians chapter 3. And let's look together at verses 12 through 14. At this issue of attitudes. If I've got attitudes that are not what they ought to be, I need a new normal in my life as a Christian. I need to recognize that I'm called to a higher standard of behavior. But I'm also called to a higher standard of thought and a higher standard of attitudes that I portray. If I'm to be light to the world around me, notice verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Wednesday night in our live stream, we looked at that beautiful section in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we went through and tried to consider what the Holy Spirit tells us about the kind of love that should characterize our attitudes towards others. And do you remember, particularly there as we see it in verse 13, as we see it there at the end of verse 12, that idea of long-suffering and bearing with others should characterize our attitude. If that's not who I am, if that's not who you are, we may need a new normal in our lives. You know, we mentioned at the beginning, I offered that illustration of physical maturity. And certainly we recognize that some of those kinds of things about the aging of the body, we don't really have a choice about. I'm going to be the age that I am. Now, I can try to be healthy. I can do those kinds of things. But the Bible describes the fact that anyone, whether you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old when you obey the gospel, you begin as a babe. But the Bible also describes the fact that we must mature in Christ. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want us to notice in the context of talking about divisiveness and carnal attitudes that led those within the church in Corinth to split from one another and to follow one teacher over another. Notice the way that the Apostle Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, I recognize that there is meat and there is milk that is a part of God's Word. And I realize that we certainly cannot focus on one exclusively. But let's ask the question, do I allow myself to simply stay a spiritual babe? You know, I rejoiced during the debate. We dug pretty deep into some things. That was kind of some tough kinds of things. One of the things that really was intriguing to me about that was to see some of the reactions of young people. I suspect that some of the parents that may have been involved in those bringing their children to that may have kind of worried, well, is it going to go over their head? Are they going to get lost in that? And a lot of it went over all of our heads. But what was interesting is to see these young people that would draw conclusions and would think about these things. And I think that is wonderful because it reflects a willingness and an attitude that whether we are 12 or we are 82, we need to not allow ourselves to remain spiritual babes. We need to grow and feast upon the milk and the meat of God's Word. If I am just staying a babe in Christ, I may need a new normal. If I find myself simply too much in love with this world, I may need a new normal in my life. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable that I think illustrates the danger that we can face sometimes in this life. There are plans that we make. There are responsibilities that we have. And Scripture never teaches that the child of God should neglect responsibilities or not be diligent in work. But notice the parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. And let's consider the balance that we need to have with this and ask ourselves, do I need a new normal in my attitudes towards this life? Beginning in verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The issue is not responsibility. The issue is not fulfilling our tasks that we are assigned within life. But do we become so intrigued with those things? Do we become so devoted to those things that we're not laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven? If I am, if you are, we may need a new normal in our lives. If we find that as a Christian, you remember in the text that we began with in Matthew chapter 16, we're to deny ourselves, we're to take up our cross, we're to follow after Him. Well, what does that mean to follow after Him? It doesn't just mean that, well, we put a badge on and say, I'm a Christian, and it doesn't affect anything in our lives. It means that we are faithful. We are faithful in obedience to His Word. Over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10, I'd ask you to notice with me in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, what Jesus tells us about how we may know if we truly are a part of the flock of God. Jesus says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Are we like sheep listening to the voice of our master? Instead, are we following our own will and our own wishes? And our desire, if we look at our lives and we see, you know, I know the Lord said this, but I want to do it different. We may need a new normal in our lives because we may need a normal that is obedient to the will of God. But lastly, if you're here this morning and you stand outside of Christ, I want to submit to you that you absolutely need a new normal in your life. Now, it may be that you are just accustomed to the way in which you've lived your life. Maybe there are things that you like doing and you recognize that, well, if I turn to Christ and I obey the gospel, I can't do those things anymore. Or maybe you recognize the friends that I hang out with and the people that I'm so close to, it's going to compromise my relationship with them if all of a sudden I try to live like a Christian. I know it's going to be a new normal. But I want to submit to you that that's the direction you need to go. And the reason is because all of us have a problem in our lives. A problem that is far more dangerous than any pandemic that could ever plague our world. And that is the problem of sin. Because all of us at some point, when we come to an age in which we become accountable for our actions and our choices. All of us at some point either fail to do those things that are commanded in the Word of God, or we violate those things that are prohibited in the Word of God. And when we do so, we commit what Scripture defines as sin. And sin is not something that's just a casual transgression. Sin is that which separates us from a relationship with our Creator. And if we live our life with that as our normal, and we go to our graves with that as our normal, we will die in our sins and will be eternally separated from God. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, and he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." It may be that you are very much accustomed to the way your life has been lived up to this point. But if you stand outside of Christ this morning, you need a new normal in your life. I would urge you, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, maybe you realize as we've examined the idea this morning, my normal is not what it ought to be. I'm not denying self. I'm not taking up my cross. I'm not following faithfully after the Lord. Do you need a new normal in your life? If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?